Let me take this opportunity to welcome each and every one of you here today on the Sabbath day. What a privilege it is to come before God and worship Him on His true Sabbath day. The title or topic of my message today is The Work of Men's Hands. The first two of the Ten Commandments, as recorded in Exodus 20, read as follows. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Let us briefly consider these two divine commandments. First of all, let's consider objects of worship. People worship many things over the centuries. Some still physically bow down to handmade images and idols, just as our pagan ancestors did in days gone by. Others pay mental homage to man-made objects of worship. Religious and erotic images, paintings, carved statues of the saints, and a multitude of objects and ideologies. Others worship themselves, their appearance, their abilities, and their position in society. False gods abound in every land, and they fall into several categories. Today, we will briefly consider two, each at its basic and higher level, the work of men's hands. The basic level. The physical idols of wood, metal, or stone which pagans worship. The higher level. Modern inventions such as technical gadgetry, innovation, screen images, robot-controlled machines, sophisticated modes of transport, and military hardware, the heavenly host, the literal stars and planets in the heavens and their supposed influence on human life. That is the basic. The higher plane, the spirit beings, angelic host, human philosophy in its endless attempt to cure man's ills. The worship of all these objects and concepts are strictly forbidden in Scripture. Now let's talk about the work of men's hands. No one will dispute the fact that mankind has made amazing advances in the past few decades. even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This enormous advance in human understanding and knowledge, and the unprecedented increase in world travel, was predicted long ago in the Bible. It was predicted in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Yes, in virtually every department of human endeavor, new and exciting inventions appear every year. But be warned against worshiping human ingenuity. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 44, verses 9 to 20, we read of the dangers of worshiping the work of our own hands. It also tells of the dangers of putting our trust in the products and philosophies of mankind. To be sure, the passage at its basic level is referring to metal, stone, or wooden idols, but its higher modern counterparts are included. These are the technological inventions and philosophical products of the human mind. In other words, all our motor cars, aeroplanes, or sophisticated robot-controlled equipment, all our computers, mainframes, minis, and micros, all our inventions, and there are literally thousands of them, and all human ideologies, isms, and systems. In themselves, all of these are incapable of saving the human race from impending destruction, as were the wooden, stone, or metal images our ignorant ancestors worshipped centuries ago. In short, worshipping human ingenuity is in the long run a futile waste of time. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, reads, "Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made." What about the heavenly host? The ancients literally worshiped the sun, the moon, and the stars. Many thought the sun was God Almighty, the moon his wife, and all the stars were their children. Ancient Israel repeatedly ignored divine warnings concerning sun worship, and went ahead and sinned grievously. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning in verse 2. "If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods, and worshipped them, either the sun, or moon, or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. And it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and, behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel." Verse 5, "Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die." Now turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 29. "Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Azamiah, and the Evites made Nishaz and Tartak, and the Severites burned their children in fire to Adrimmelech and Animelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sanctified for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence." Verse 34, "Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord hath made a covenant, and charged them, saying, Ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice." Verse 37, "And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day." Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8, beginning in verse 15. "Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these." Verse 16, "And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and, behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worship the sun toward the east." What about horoscopes? Of course, our 21st century man and woman no longer believes that the sun is a person. But multiplied millions still believe that the sun, moon, and stars influence their lives. Daily, they study their horoscopes in the popular press. You may be sure that the reading of a horoscope is forbidden by the command, Thou shalt have no other gods but me. Reading a horoscope is the modern manifestation of an ancient superstition that the stars influence one's life. The practice is forbidden in the scriptures. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them, and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. What about philosophies of mankind? The worshiping of physical man-made objects was one of the earliest errors the human race made. But by far the greatest error is one modern man is making. He thinks he knows better than God, that he can, by the sheer process of innovation, experimentation, and human brain power, figure out a more effective way to live than that which Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had detailed in his word. The dictionary defines philosophy in this way: the search by logical reasoning for understanding of the basic truths and principles of the universe, of life and morals, and of human perception and understanding of these, a system of ideas concerning a particular subject for the conduct of life. Philosophy is big business these days, and thousands earn their living teaching it. As mankind's troubles grow, so does the apparent list of available solutions. New philosophical ideologies, isms, and concepts are constantly spawned. People publish them, study them, and practice them with zeal, only to discover decades later that they don't work, that they were expensive, pointless, and a dangerous waste of time. Where do these ideas concerning human behavior originate? And are they really new? Strange as it may seem, there are very few, if any, original moral ideas for living appearing on the scene these days. What we are witnessing are old ideas dressed up in new clothes. The ancients taught philosophy thousands of years ago. The subject is not new. The fact is, what is currently called the new morality is really the newly packaged old immorality. It has been around since time began. Many of the so-called new guidelines for life were spawned thousands of years ago in the minds of the ancients, men and angels. Go to any country, examine any civilization, and you will be able to trace philosophical ideas about life which go back thousands of years. The most popular and destructive all have this in common: they directly clash with the commandments of the Almighty God. And the more they contradict His law, the more catastrophic are their results. Down through the ages, Satan has challenged every commandment Yahweh has given. Satan vainly imagines that he has a better way, an easier way, a more enjoyable way to live, one that will benefit the whole human race. Millions fall victim to his deception every day. Why is Satan so active? What is his goal? What is it that drives him to deceive mankind? The scriptures give us the stunning answers. Satan's aim is to rule the universe, to dethrone God, to make Yahweh serve him. Satan wants to govern not just the minds of men, but the minds of the entire heavenly host. Satan wants to be worshipped. Satan was created a mighty archangel, a covering cherub to stand in Yahweh's presence. He is a being of amazing beauty, wisdom, and power. But as he went about his duties, pride entered his heart, and he coveted the very throne of his Creator. The following prophecy tells of Satan's ambitions and his end. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. The pride of fallen angels. The sin of Satan, pride, and the desire to be worshipped spread through the angelic host like a cancer. Millions of angels joined Satan in his rebellion against the Almighty. The Bible tells us that 1/3 of the heavenly hosts joined Satan in his bid to overthrow God. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This rebellious host of evil angels is still around. They are the brains behind most, if not all, the vain ideologies the human race has implemented in the centuries past. They are all the false gods we are commanded not to worship. They are the demons and the evil spirits behind every bogus religion that has plagued mankind since the creation. Writing of these evil beings, the Apostle Paul warns in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sad to say, idolatry is an international sin. Like the ancient city of Athens, the whole world is now given over to idolatry. All nations are currently worshiping human products and human ideologies. Yahweh's laws are seldom considered. Moral standards have plummeted. Sin is rampant, and society is paying the price. Rebellion has spread from the angelic host to the human heart. Comparatively, few want to obey Yahweh and his law. Here are a few more texts concerning idolatry. Beware how you live, because failure to take warning will prove catastrophic. Turn to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 23. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 reads, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 reads, And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Sin is rampant these days. The commandments of the Most High are broken with impunity. They are treated with disdain, even by leading Christian churchmen. Millions worship the gods of their own choosing and the work of their own hands. Illicit sex, money, food and drink, and a host of forbidden things too numerous to even mention. The Almighty is not unaware of what man is doing. He takes full account of every thought, every word, and every deed. His day of reckoning is fast approaching. Never forget that fact. What about you? What about me? How do you fare? How do I fare when we measure ourselves against the passages of scriptures we've just read? Are we blatantly sinning, disdainfully supposing that we are safe from the reach of these ancient scriptures? Or is our conscience telling us that we need to repent and that in several areas we need to ask forgiveness of the Almighty? At best, a voice in the wilderness, Toronto, Canada, can only inform you of your danger. We can bring to your notice what the Almighty has said in His Word, but only His Spirit can convict you of sin. Bear in mind that the Savior is anxious to save you from all your sins, however small or great they may be. No one is beyond redemption, especially those who know deep within themselves that all is not right in their lives. Salvation is possible for all souls through Jesus Christ, and salvation is free. The Almighty is offering you free pardon from all sin. He also offers you eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. You cannot afford to ignore His offer. No one on the face of the earth can afford to reject that offer. Now, in conclusion, let's do a summary. The first and the second of the Ten Commandments forbid the worship of other gods and all forms of idolatry. But sad to say, millions sin daily by worshiping a host of false gods. They worship idols, images, human inventions, human ideologies, evil angels, the creature rather than the Creator, the stars and other heavenly bodies, food, drink, drugs, sexual pleasure, power, money, social status, fame, and so on. All these are the gods of this world, and worshiping them is sin. Satan, an archangel of great intelligence, beauty, and power, is the author of sin. He leads a rebellion against the Most High, and a third of the angelic host joined him in his stand against God. Billions of human beings are also currently in revolt against God. Satan's aim is to sit on the very throne of the Almighty and be worshipped as God. But Satan's days are numbered. The Bible tells us that he is soon to be exposed and judged. His time is short, and Satan knows it. The Bible also teaches that those who engage in sins of false worship and idolatry will not go unpunished. They will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, they will experience the wrath of the Almighty God and forfeit eternal life. And that is certain. This sermon is a warning message to us all who hear it. To give up sin and accept salvation through Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. As I stated earlier, salvation is free. All you need to do is accept it. Do this today. Do it before it is eternally too late. And then make your faith come alive by obeying the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen.